Are you my podcast?
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 Are you my podcast? Are you my podcast?
Hey, Sarah Colonna, my sweet angel, hold me.
Oh, hi, Mary Radzinski. What a Wednesday evening it is, as usual. I have wine tonight. I'm not going to pretend I don't.
Not sure how we would get through it otherwise.
I mean, okay. A lot happened this season. And
that we know of, that we saw.
Things that a lot happened off camera. But not only did they have zero successful marriages out of this season, not even, they had one yes, but not really, because they broke up 5 seconds later. And then they had like a half a yes, I guess, tonight. But the fact that we've had five couples and six weddings, and they're just all L's, just big old L's, just losses.
Big goose eggs. I used to have a first grade teacher, she'd say it was, well, things were a goose egg. You know what I think that this season could pride itself on is I think that they've come out with more enemies than any other season.
That's a good point. They have certainly figured out a way to make sure a few people really hate each other and that we
including me.
Well, I was going to say that we have a strong dislike towards some people that we don't know. The way I was like a bull basically on my couch, just pawing at wanting to leap through my television at Orion was
at the bar.
It was so, it was unreasonable. I understand that I need a break. And next week there is a break. There's a fluffer episode of A Cast Tells All. And guess what? We don't need to. I love the former Cast Tells All personally, like to watch them, but we don't need to, talk about what they talk about on our podcast, because that's not going to make any sense. So next week, we're just going to do a very fun palate cleanser for your soul. If you have ever listened to any of our Sunday Patreons, it'll be something along those lines. It's going to be very, very fun. Please tune in next week. Keep us in your downloads. Keep downloading us. Don't let us drop off the charts.
Yeah.
So just please listen again next week. We're going to do a really fun episode. And then the 10th and the 17th is the reunions. We'll obviously cover those. Our clip shows follow the reunions. So please keep your TV going and listen to to our sweet angel voices in the background. I have a lot of stand-up dates coming up. SarahColonna.com, first weekend of April in Batavia, Illinois, third weekend in Tulsa, last weekend in Fort Worth, going to Fayetteville, my hometown, Lowell, Arkansas, at beginning of May. Mary and I are together in Louisville in June. I've got Dallas in June, SarahColonna.com. Please get tickets to that. Any of them, all of them. Travel around the world.
Yes, yes, yes. Travel.
And you're headed to Austin.
I am headed to Austin. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin in between April 17th and the 21st. So you can check out dates and all that jazz, all the details at maryradzinski.com. So getting some more things on the books and excited, super excited. It's funny. I was already talking about June in Louisville with you, starting to get those seats filled. Can't wait.
I know. Well, it was really funny. I'm so excited for you to do that Moon Tower Comedy Festival. It's a big festival, guys. It's a big deal for our Mare Bear. So everybody,
thanks, girl.
Everybody, if you're in the area, go see or support. Instagram, merch, Are You My Podcasters group. You know the drill. After this, we're going to keep going. We're going to go over to Patreon. We're going to do overtime. It's only $7 a month, and there's so much content. And maybe last Sunday was one of my favorite just regular episodes, because we do Thursday overtime during Married at First Sight, and then we have our Sunday episodes, which is the joy of our Patreon. We just love it. And last week's episode was one of my favorites.
It was one of mine too.
We told some stories.
Well, I was going to say that's what I love. I think it's like, you know, we have topics sometimes. Sometimes we watch something. Sometimes we just talk about what happened and whatever we can do to make each other laugh. And sometimes it's a combination of all three. So that's what you can expect or not expect from our non-Married at First Sight episodes. I just have to tell you, my mom, she on Sunday, I talked to her in the afternoon. She's like, yeah, I listened to your Patreon today. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, it's like it was funny, right? She's like, yeah, it got a little gross at the end. And she was talking about me, not gross, but just that I shared too much for my mother's sweet, sweet ears, apparently. So
really? I don't.
Yeah, I think she's just personal because it's me. And, you know, I was going into detail about that particular doctor visit and just how things went awry, or, you know, but
south, actually.
South. Really, yeah. South and north at the same time. So
that's right.
Anyway. But yeah, I'm glad to be here with you right now.
Guys, I guess we'll just dive in.
I know.
Say something.
This isn't a spoiler for anybody. I mean, I think we should just dive into Chloe and Michael because I feel like
Orion and
Stuff that when we're talking an hour and a half into it and I start to lose manners and a sense of myself, you know, and then we head over to Patreon. I'd like to talk about Chloe and Michael. I'm curious, and then fucking sorry with the F's, you guys, but after party, I mean, that is its own thing. It's an animal of its own. I don't even, when I think I'm done with the show and like I have a good grip on everything, and then I watch that and I'm just like, what's happening?
Yeah, I'm Emily and Keisha. It can't be a lot of fun when for Keisha or Emily when they have to walk past each other in the hallway. We've been in that building ourselves. It's a pretty tight hallway, and so I think there's some icy shoulders in there. Now, okay, Chloe and Michael. Obviously, he said no. She said yes. Although the whole time she was watching him, it looked like she knew he would. She said yes, but I feel like she knew he was going to say no, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he even sort of confirmed that on after party that I think they both had that understanding, but then she just gave it a final try in the moment to maybe see.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, I sort of, even if she knew he was going to say no, her true feeling was she wanted to say yes. Yeah. I like that she did. I actually like that she didn't change it. Like, okay, well, you're going to say no, so I'll say no too. I like that we know she wanted to continue. We all have theories. Sorry. I feel like people now are quizzing whether or not he even wanted to get married, even though he did the process twice or tried to, I should say. I pretty much just stand by believing it just wasn't the right fit, and her dreams and aspirations, which are noble, there was no seeming to have any, backing away paring them down a little bit, making them a little bit more realistic to start things off. That's what I think. And I don't know that he ever really said that clearly, because maybe it's hard to say to someone, well, she wants to rescue a bunch of animals and kids and I'm just not interested. That's not what he, you know, would have meant, but go ahead.
I see it exactly the same way as you. I think that was the deal breaker, and for lack of a better term, I think he really was falling for Chloe. I think they had the chemistry. I just think that it was a heavy future was handed to him, kind of like yes, no, circle one. And I think he was just like, what? I mean, I signed up for this show. But can we talk a little bit about how even Pepper brought it up? So like literally during the final moments before the ship is sinking, there it's like, oh, Pepper's like, well, you know, I know there was a lot of talk about hopes and dreams. And, you know, I wonder if rather than hopes and dreams, we could, they came off more as requirements that were potentially scary. You think? I mean, yes. I just think that's crazy that in the 11th hour there, that's when that comes up. And I will say the thing that Chloe said after that was the first time we'd heard anything like that. When she said something like, oh, you know, the blessing and the curse of this is that we don't have a lot of time. So we have to show every part of ourselves. And she said, fostering kiddos again. But she said before her journey was about me and now it's about we and navigating things differently as a we. Well, I feel like that was never expressed before.
Well, yes. And I was glad actually that Pepper said what she said, because I think that anyone can see that from what we saw, and of course we don't know of their off camera conversations and what, but anyone can see that she seemed to have these big dream, these big sort of, this is what we're going to do. And this is what I'm going to do. Let's get the dream started. Let's go get a yard now. And no acknowledgement of, is this too much for you? Can I have maybe one cat with a limp and one foster kid? And then we could move from on from there, see how it goes. It didn't seem like there was any dipping toes in. It was all going to be all in. And I think that there wasn't a lot of conversation that we got to see of what he wanted.
Yeah, none. I don't know anything about him. I know he's a snappy dresser. I know he likes to accessorize. I don't know a whole lot more. I mean, it really was, I think you said it last week, like, or one of us did, about just the not the Chloe show in a way that she was trying to get attention or take over, but just the focus was, I think, a little bit more on her needs and wants.
Yeah, I think I realized tonight that it felt like, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to find someone to fit in it, to put in the place of the husband. I'm going to find someone to do this, and they're going to do this with me. And there's not a lot of focus on bringing a partner in and seeing what you guys want to do together. So I think that he skirted that issue. Listen, isn't that fun?
I mean, that's why you get paid to do shit like that, you know? Yes.
Nailed it. Boy, that one just came out. You'd think I'd been holding on to that one for weeks, but really it just came to me. I think he, in a way, said that he knew that it just wasn't the right thing, but I guess it's just, he didn't address that exact issue the way kind of I felt Pepper did a little bit. And she said something about it being harder for him to settle in and let his walls down. And he was overwhelmed. I'm like, weren't you going to bed at noon every day and asking for a new place by day two? I felt a little bit imbalanced, because, and I'm not saying that he didn't do that too. I didn't see him get it.
I guess we did see it.
Yeah. And maybe we did see a little bit of it, but I just felt, If that's the case, then okay, maybe she did it the first half and he did it the second half, but it's not as if she just flew through this process, no walls up, all cool, wasn't overwhelmed.
Right. And right.
So that was kind of, who said something about their seeds not being watered? I browned out during that.
Oh, was there? I'm not sure. Now that it's bringing something back, but it's a little bit uncomfortable. It's making me feel weird in different parts. I don't know.
I heard something about seeds and watering, and I went, what? And then I just stopped listening for at least 20 seconds. And then that's when Pepper kind of just started saying, fight for it, fight for it. Basically, give us a W. Please give us a W. Oh. We've matched you twice. Please give us a W.
And even Pia was getting in on that. Like, she had some money in this one, you know. she was like, you know, so tell me, Michael, blah, blah, blah. But then she sort of stops him because he's talking about Chloe. And she's like, do you see that? When I asked you how you feel when you're with Chloe, you said you're happy, you light up. These nonverbals, say yes, motherfucker, say yes. Like, that's all. I mean, they were really, I was afraid. Like, I could see Cal at one point just like I don't know if they had to like sign the divorce papers there, him like running off into the woods with the papers so they couldn't do it. Like just something.
Keep usually, away.
Yeah. Like, no, like tossing it over the, you know.
Yeah, they roll it up to a ball, throw it over their head. Sorry, you didn't get it. Didn't catch it.
Throw it under something, send Pepper after it. Just a whole kind of a to-do.
It would have been, I did that whole scene when that started with the seeds and the and then she said kiddos a lot. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I feel like my brain stopped working. And then I looked up and I went, are they sitting on a rug in a yard out loud? And John wasn't even here. So there was just like a big rug in a yard where they were doing decision day. And I don't know why that struck me as an odd choice, but I guess when you have to throw together another decision day and the other ones, because the other one took place inside that, it kind, yeah, kind like of like a rustic
barn
looking
type thing.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess they lost that location by the time they
an extra day
got to Michael. Yeah. So they were like, hey, is there like a yard we could dress up? Maybe put a rug down and four chairs, because we gotta get this moving. So that's kind of what my focus was on. In case anyone's wondering where I'm at.
Well, I just think it's funny that you hear something about watering seeds and it's just not your thing. So just a whole nother direction. Decor. How'd you feel about the shorts?
So was it a skirt or was it a skort? Or was it a
shorts? I think it was shorts.
Oh, I thought maybe it was a skort. We're trying to get Michael on, just so everyone knows. We'll see. We think
question number one, was that a skort?
Was that a skort? Yes. And so, Michael, if you do hear this now, please don't tell us until we talk to you. And then if we don't get to talk to you, if they won't let you talk to us, then you can tell us. Just saying. That's just me throwing it out there in case he happens to be listening. I liked, they both looked great.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It made me wonder if I could ever rock a skort, and now it's making me question if it was even one. So it doesn't really matter.
It reminded me that I believe, rock a skort in elementary school. Perhaps it was when a skort blew my mind. A skort is like a spork, you know, like it just so many different. Anyway, carry me, Sarah. I'm just losing us right now.
So I got so excited the other day in our group because while I was watching something, I forgot. I mean, it was obviously Married at First Sight related, but maybe it was just a preview for this coming week. But I was like, oh, Chloe reminds me of Lauren Graham from Bad Santa.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yes. And Lauren Graham is obviously not only from Bad Santa, but specifically something about the way she carries herself reminded me of Lauren Graham in that movie, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And Lauren Graham is beautiful and she's one of the best parts of the movie. So it's all positive. But for some reason, I got so excited. I went all caps into the group and I was like, guys, finally, I figured it out. Everyone keeps trying to say who Chloe reminds them of. It's Lauren Graham from Bad Santa. It was like all caps. I was all excited. And like maybe, you know, some people chimed in and they were like, yeah, I could see that.
It didn't
and
land.
And I was like, no, it didn't land. I was like, you guys aren't as excited as I am about this. So fucking whatever. Yeah. And then I got mad.
You should have just removed everyone from the group at that point. Like, listen.
I just delete the whole group because I didn't get enough likes on my post.
Funny.
Yeah. Anyway. So
I can see that though, just for a little validation. Totally. Because I didn't see that post, but that hits hard.
It hits hard. It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For some reason, I really see it. Anyway,
I mean,
she wanted to see where it would go. She thought they had more story to tell. And he just basically said he has doubt, concern. He knows it's not going to work. I think he would have said yes to keep going if he thought there was a possibility. Right.
Yes. And I think it goes a little back to even from last week's episode when Brennan, you know, Walt Whitman there gave him the idea of like, well, would you want to keep dating? Or, you know, if you want to keep dating, then you should say yes. But when Michael though, yeah, he would keep dating Chloe, but it's not that. It's become a commitment to these very big in future endeavors. And so if he knows that that's not for him, it would be unfair to waste either one of their time, even just fucking around. Listen, chances are he's going to slip it in a couple more times after decision day. It's not like things, I mean, been there, done that, right? I mean, they've got a good thing going. They're probably going to recycle each other for, you know, a little bit until at least after the reunions. I mean, I would. That's just
Interesting. That's true, because they didn't have anything nasty between them.
No.
They don't. She does seem a little pissed off when I've seen her a couple times on After Party, but maybe it's not pissed off. It's just disappointed, you know. So yeah. I'd be curious if they kind of continued, but I do think she seems like someone who is going, if this person doesn't want to be with me, then I'm not doing that, because I don't.
I'm all in both, or I'm all out, Sarah.
Yeah.
Mall yes. in, people either love me or they hate me. Mall in or mall out.
That was a pretty good impression, actually. Thanks. You guys couldn't see Mary moving around, but it was pretty solid.
Oh, I mean, it's the most I've moved in a long time. But,
I would say that also, I don't think, to your point, I don't think it would be really fair to her.
No.
Or to him, really, because if they both are actually hoping to find a person they do want to marry, then what's the point if you know that long-term goals are just a non-starter for you with this
right.
person? So
right.
it's not – that wouldn't work. I mean, I thought, you know, he's so good at being attentive to her. It's clear he cares for her. It's clear she cares for him. They're respectful to each other, even when they went to Boulder. And or wherever they went and looked at, and they sat in a cabin or something, right?
Oh, yeah. They had charcuterie. Yeah. He was sporting a French braid. It looked like a nice little weekend.
Sounds like somebody wishes they could have had that weekend. Maybe well,
listen,
even with Michael.
I think if we do get to talk to Michael, we should clear this up ahead of time. I think Michael is a handsome devil. I think he has the charm and the moxie, but I was lusting over that charcuterie board. Did you see it? It was beautiful.
I know.
It was. It looked like lovely cheeses and meats, chocolate dipped strawberries. There were the fire. I mean, it just looked like a nice weekend, but I'm also not going
like
to not
nice
comment
weekend.
on a French braid. How often do you get to see a French braid anymore?
I know, that's true. And yeah, it looked like a nice time, but it looked almost even then when they were sitting out there and she started talking and he grabbed her hand. There was uncertainty and fear he'd celebrated his independence too long. Honestly, there was another point where I browned out a little bit because I just felt like I thought, why are people saying words that I'm just not following tonight? Am I dumb? Is this show melting my brain?
I felt the same way a little bit, but then also I don't know if I browned out or I very well may have gotten up and gotten something to eat at that time because the charcuterie looks so nice.
Yeah.
And like she thanked him for making her realize she wants to do life with someone. I mean, listen, these people I think will potentially be in each other's lives if they're, you know, if they're both open to it. I could see them having a life where they are acquaintances with their next partners, you know, and because I think they see value in one another for sure, whether it's for them to, you know, dance off into the sunset together or not. I don't think so, but.
Right. Know. And I think she even said that she hopes he's, you know, he's a great man and she hopes he's in her life. And I believe I could see he feels the same way about her. I mean, that's the thing is they're both great people. So there's not any, it's kind of like, not like Kristen and Mitch, where we just knew that he wasn't going to be right for her. He wasn't ready for her, all that stuff. But we liked them both genuinely by the end. And we just thought, oh God, we just wish that somehow they could work out because they both just seem like good people to their core. But when it's not right, it's not right. And I think he made the right move by saying no. I think, of course, everyone's questioning now whether or not he was ready, like I said. But I just think at this point, it was the wrong person.
When he got emotional on After Party, when they showed the clip of him saying no, I mean, that must still be very raw. Because there is part of me that's like, okay, he knew in his heart or his gut, whatever, he was going with both, a little bit of both, that this was not the right answer for either one of them. However, I mean, it still wasn't easy. You could see that. I mean, I was surprised that he got kind of emotional in after party.
Yeah, I know. And she's been, I feel like she's been kind of emotional in a couple appearances. So it'll be interesting to see them at the reunion.
Yes.
And how they're doing and whether or not they had any contact afterwards. I mean, hopefully Kevin Frazier asked more questions than Nick and Vanessa Lachey asked. What's their faces on on the Love is Blind reunion about whether or not they, Jimmy and Chelsea, because I would like to, I would like some details.
Yes.
I did say, I saw this, there was a shot, sort of a song at them, at Michael and Chloe at the beginning. No, it was at the rest of the cast basically. And it was when they went to the cabin and they were kind of, that was, it was after they were sitting there with the charcuterie board and they kind of faded out to a song that was like, here's to the ones who keep on fighting, even though they are afraid. Yeah. That was the producers. They were like, put that song in there. That's a shot at the rest of the cast who didn't fight.
I just want to tell, for those of you that you can hear that sweet songbird, Sarah, but I got to watch her just perform that. And she sort of does this, like, I don't know, 30,000 diagonal stare in her eye. And like when she like, and she kind of lights up, like her eyes twinkle when she's really hitting a note. I mean, it's one of my favorite things.
Well, I can't make eye contact with you when I'm singing one of those stupid songs. Can you imagine how weird that would be?
It really would be, but I'm going to beg you to do it the next time.
I'm going to try. I'm going to, when I sing that girl power song they were playing during the lingerie shoot. I will say, just like everyone else feels they need to this season, it's time to microdose, okay?
It's time for
all of us to microdose. If you you've probably heard of microdosing. If not, it's tons of people are microdosing to feel healthier and perform better. We have Microdose Gummies as a sponsor that deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. I will very much stand by this. I am not a person who likes to feel very high. I like to feel a little bit in control, but I like to feel relaxed, especially during stressful times. To be deeply honest, I relied on these very much after losing my father last summer. And it takes the edge off. It also can help you be creative. There's a lot of good, good moods that you could use it for as well. Mary, I know you love them as well.
I do love them. And I'm glad that we get to, work with them, but this is part of my routine moving forward. Like I have a gummy every night before I go to bed, about 30 minutes before I want to go to sleep, calms me down. I'm going to say I'm off the Ambien. I genuinely don't have to borrow Ambien from a friend. It's a whole thing. Anyway, the point is I will not live without these things. They just make me feel just very calm and relaxed. And it's the exact thing I need to shove off for a good night's sleep.
I like it. And obviously, we have a code for you. Go. So for 30% off your first order, plus free shipping, go to microdose.com, microdose.com. Promo code is mypodcast at checkout. It's available nationwide too, which not all of these items are. So microdose.com, promo code mypodcast, 30% off plus free shipping. Go get you some. I mean, should we get into the meetup?
Yeah.
Should we? Yeah. Is there anything else to say?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there is, but you and I aren't always linear in our thoughts. We usually we come to midway through a rant or a rage and we remember something from before. I think in terms of Chloe and Michael and the decision, I mean, it was a bummer, but I think their story's not over yet. I think we're going to learn, well, even after party, like little bits and pieces, so we can move on.
Well, I would say the photo shoot was lovely. I love that they all celebrated and talked about parts of their body that they loved.
The pictures were gorgeous.
Yes, the picture was
beautiful.
Becca's super talented. That's obviously girl power. to the one time. I can't remember the words now.
Is it because you're staring into my eyes?
Oh, nothing can hold us back. Girl power. I'm trying to look in your eyes, but I can't. When I sing that song, it feels too weird.
I know. It was I think I'm pregnant, Sarah. It was a deep Care Bear stare into my soul. That I love.
Or no, they took their least favorite part of their body and celebrated is what they did, right? And then and then the best part. I thought that's always I'm all for it. People, we all need to celebrate the parts of our body that we are self-conscious about. And I liked the message of all of this. I like that there's a real bond with these girls. I liked seeing them shine, and Becca's, I mean, it was a great promo for her business because she's really talented.
Oh, it made me want to do it. And, you know, I don't know how a boudoir shoot would go with cardigans, but I'm going to see if we could figure that out. I thought it was really nice.
I feel like
nice.
Becca could make that work. And I honestly want to see that now. And what's going to be even more weird is that they're not going to just be for Mark. I'm going to want one hanging in my house.
Hey, you know, everybody's got a birthday coming up. You know, we can make that happen.
They have such a good friendship. If we could get Becca to do a boudoir photo shoot of you in cardigans, and she'll take care of you. She'll get you as dressed as you need to be, and then we could sell them for merch.
Cardigan merch, boudoir. Do you want a boudoir cardigan calendar, perhaps?
Yes, I do. Absolutely, I do. I mean, just me, honestly, it's getting kind of weird now that I just keep saying I want it. But
I like that you just added for merch, wink. Yeah. All right. Okay. I know where this is going. Yeah.
But that was nice after, I mean, that meetup. The guys, first of all, Brennan not being able to go because he had... But Emily was like, yeah, you don't want to let that intramural softball team down.
She is so funny and quick and sharp, and it brings me such joy.
Oh, it really made me laugh. I know that she's like, no, yeah, it's obviously important. Of course, Brennan doesn't have the cojones to show up, and it's fine. Maybe he's over it. Whatever. Did they say why Cameron wasn't there?
Well, they didn't say at the time, but if you recall on After Party, when they were like, well, you just had surgery, and Keisha's like, oh, he had heart surgery. And Emily's like, yeah, well, he could have come and had water and stood there. She's like, I showed up to shit after I almost died. Okay. He could have been there. And then, of course, it was just another sort of bone of contention with Keisha, like, what? You know, just because I think it was Emily saying it. But,
she did like sick in quotation marks. She's like, but Emily, he had a heart surgery. And Emily's like, whatever. My head almost came off twice during this show. And I showed up everywhere. So whatever.
He has managed to skirt the cameras. Like, I don't know what the contract is with this. And I'm sure a heart surgery and a heart problem can break any contract, but he has been able to kind of get out of the bulk of the season.
Yeah. Obviously, I believe he had a health issue. Of course, I believe he had a heart thing and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, they're going to look. And I mean, Emily did too. She was basically saying, but whatever, he couldn't, after he got his heart fixed, why couldn't he show up and just drink some water and stare at us? And it was like really making me laugh. But I think, I'm pretty sure that they, with liability wise, they're like, yeah, you don't have to film. But I would just say that okay, Becca and Austin. We'll start there. I feel bad for Austin, and I feel bad for Becca. I feel bad for them because I think they're both genuinely disappointed and sad that it didn't work out between them. I think they genuinely care enough about each other that they are bummed. I think he's really bummed. I think he's aware that he messed up. He said it. He said he did come in with the right intentions, but he knows where he screwed up, but that he genuinely cares about. You can tell he looks sad, right? I think
he looks really sad, and I do think he's genuine. And the thing is, I love Becca, this isn't like a, I'm not choosing one over the other. I just, and I know people don't agree with me. I know I saw on the podcasters on our group page that when I was suggesting, I think last week or whatever, that there's a lot of people that don't think they belong together. I don't know what it is, but I don't understand why they couldn't give it another shot. Even when she was talking to her therapist, I mean, it's not like they're already married. Spend a couple weeks together. Like, you know, see how it goes without the cameras. If the cameras were such an issue. But then when she was talking to her therapist on the couch and her nose was running profusely. And her therapist said something like, well, when I asked you last week, you know, would you be able to trust him and do this again or whatever? And you said, no, that's what you have to go with. You can't go with how you're feeling in these weak moments or something along those lines. But I just need to, I want to hear more. Like, is he a pathological liar? Was he lying about everything? I know he hid some vaping in the bathroom. I know he was fibbing about being out with the producer and stuff, but could some of this have to have done with the camera? And I really think he's like in love with her. And I, you know, as much as he knows how, and I think she really, to be that upset and just missing him so much when I don't know as if I saw something I've seen people, I've seen a relationship where somebody done fucked up and they stay together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, yeah. I don't see this giant, like, I understand that there was a problem. And I'm not trying to like be gaslighty towards her that there wasn't a problem.
But I know. You know. I know what you're saying. I think it's just because we see her so upset and then we go, okay, could this have actually worked? Is there, and I think a lot of it is coming from hearing her doubting herself. Okay.
Well, yeah.
And I had a lot of thoughts about this because I think I have a similar, a similar personality thing.
Do tell.
That Becca does, that I think and I've talked about this with Lauren too, when she was sort of first beating herself up too much and then, and even saying, I'm beating myself up over this. And we're all like, don't anymore. This guy is not, and she, you know, but she said, that's what I tend to do. And I tend to do the same thing. And I think Becca is doing that and she's questioning herself because she got so upset about the producer thing that she just called it off in front of everybody. And I think she's just questioning whether or not she was in a heated moment at the time. And I completely understand that. I think at the end of the day, he made a really dumb choice and to go and to lie and to just make it all look worse when the whole conversation was about the cameras are finally gone. Can we do this? And it seems like he knew this producer was a problem already, you know, as whatever it was that Becca felt he wasn't being genuine because she was feeding him everything or something. And so he knew it was a big problem. And I think she was so hurt by that she's a little reactionary and she's worried, am I so reactionary that I should have not been in the moment? I think at the end of the day, personally, I don't see how they could work because I do think that he still has some maturing to do before he can be married, is my personal, non-professional takeaway.
Well, I feel like that's like saying, you know, like, don't, you know, your iPhone can't get wet, but you already jumped in the pool. I mean, I guess I'm saying they're already married, so fucking just hang out for a month. You know what I mean? I don't think he should be married either, but he already did it. You know,
right.
So, well, okay. Is this controversial? I just thought of it. And there's the little part of me that wants to be liked. That's afraid to maybe even say, not liked. I don't even know. I wonder if you'll disagree with me. All right. I'll stop spiraling and just get on with it. I wonder about Becca and Austin and this whole thing with the optics and the this and that. If I do think that the girls having each other and coming together and being united and sticking up for one another was important. And I loved a lot of it. I do, because I see particularly Orion, Cameron, and Brennan as the varsity B-bags, okay, of the season. Mm-hmm. I think Austin got lumped along with that, and I also think that Becca was then therefore part of this group where once this united front had happened and they really were like, you know, oh, they're gaslighting, they're doing these things. I just personally don't see Austin as big of an offender as the other three guys.
Absolutely. And I think he said that, and I think that was fair when he said it. And I think Becca knows that too. She even was talking about how she missed him and she was crying the next day to her therapist. And she was saying, I still care about him and it hurts to see him. And, so I think there's a world where getting each other riled up and it can happen. And now there's reasons for all of them to be riled up 100%. But I don't think that Austin was saying delete diary cams, don't make me look bad doing this and that. I think I think it also happened with him though. I think Brennan got in his head somewhere. Girls are starting to make us look bad. We better start checking how we act on camera. So I think honestly, everyone sort of, the guys even did that to themselves too. Right.
Yeah.
So I actually think it's a combination, but, and I don't know, cause poor Austin, he's like, yeah, I thought we'd maybe get together and reflect on the good times. And it is
implodes.
It's the most awkward, tense conversation. What about Lauren and Orion was amazing that we'll get to, but I definitely see that a little bit, that he was getting lumped in for a second. And I think I'm glad that he said, I don't know that I necessarily should be put into that group. But it's hard because with Claire and Cameron, I still don't even know what happened. I don't even understand those two still.
I don't understand it. I don't. Also, the previews for the reunion, I'm shook. I mean, didn't they say, like, he's like, yeah, and you were fucking your ex-boyfriend or something like that, or kissing or hooking up? Or
I don't know. I honestly missed the preview tonight. So now I have to go watch it again. I forget. Yeah. But yeah, I could see that. I do think, again, we've said this before, they were all a little bit too intertwined in each other's lives. And I think of course you're going to get someone riled up and start thinking about, like, yeah, he was looking at optics too. I think Emily was correct in saying that the women had the marriage as the priority and the men did not seem to, because even Austin, after a very shaky yes on decision day and a shaky conversation afterwards, where it was like, yeah, I'm going to see if we can keep going. And he knew that she didn't seem very happy yet, that he then chose to go out with the one person who he knew that was going to be a problem, so much that he had to lie about it. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, evidence is there that the priorities were not the marriage for the guys, it seems.
Yeah. And I guess you sort of made me feel a little bit better about that. I'm feeling like theirs is a love story that shouldn't have ended, because Becca said time and again that she was never the priority, not even the marriage, but, you know, and that is true. And that's a maturity thing for sure.
Yeah. I just think,
yeah,
I don't know. The reason she's doubting herself is because she genuinely cares about him. And I think she's doubting herself because she knows she was reactionary, and she's wondering, should I have done some things different? But then again, she knows he'd be great for someone else, and she needs honesty as a priority. And look, whether or not there was more that he wasn't honest about or not, but if it's a complete deal breaker for her just to be lied to in the way that he did, it is what it is. I mean, I don't think you can really take that away from someone. I mean, I think when she gets her anxiety high, she questions herself, and I can relate to that. So, and I think, again, I've sobbed over breakups that I knew that I couldn't be with that person. I've done that before.
Oh yeah. Yeah. For years I did.
Yeah.
Like literal calendar years.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Leap years. Yeah.
Quickly, since we did talk about the boudoir shoot, let's do our Honey Love plug, because we have the wonderful, wonderful Honey Love. We love this sponsor. This is not a lie. This is not a test. We have been sent their items. We're going to talk about their bras today. And Mary even was using them before we got them as a sponsor, FYI. To me, it's a bra that you actually want to wear. It's revolutionized the bra game. There's no underwire. There's no bulky fabrics. Their bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for underwire without sacrificing lift. So you get everything you need. It really feels like a second skin. I do not want to rip my bra off and throw it at the TV right when I walk in the door anymore. But sometimes I do during Married at First Sight, but that has nothing to do with the comfort.
They are so comfortable. And the big joke is like with the same thing, like bra comes off. And I've actually fallen asleep with this bra on. It is so comfortable. Oh, it is. That's how comfortable. And honestly, Mark sees me walking around wearing a bra in the house. He's like, are we going somewhere? And I'm like, no, I'm just really comfortable. And they are the best bras. Also, there's no bulging. Like it's a very smooth fabric and the band, the way it works. So you don't, there's no like, I call it hangover, a different kind of hangover, but there's none of that. They're the best.
Yes. And that is that, yeah, that bra bulge is it's gone. So I love the V bra for the like relaxed sort of loungy bra. It offers the support of a traditional bra without the uncomfortable underwire, lifts and separates, molded cups. Anyway, just try them. We can't tell you anymore. So go, you can get 20% off if you go to honeylove.com/mypodcast. That's our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/mypodcast. After you've purchased, if they ask you where you heard about them, please support our show. Tell them we sent you so that we can keep podcasting. okay. Well, Emily, obviously Brennan wasn't there. So there's not a ton to say about those two right now. Other than the fun shots that she took out of him that made me happy. But.
Oh, so great.
Okay. Well, her and Keisha on After Party. Oh, the whole cheating thing came up, right?
Oh, Keisha couldn't wait.
Oh, she couldn't wait. Yeah. So, well, Keisha brought up the double date thing. And then Emily said something about the silencing. And then Keisha says, well, was that truthful? Was it diversion because you were cheating, right?
Yeah.
The conversation went so back and forth. Basically, she said they always intended to put this whole double date thing on Claire. And then Keisha's like, but did you cheat? And she said, well, he was DMing Claire's friend. And there was no real answer. And then Keisha, I think, said understood out of nowhere. And then it ended. But I felt like everyone's going to keep having their opinion about this. Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever condoned cheating. Nobody's ever said she didn't make a bad choice. But when we see the way that he was checked out, the fact that she's been seeing stuff on his iPad, the fact that, again, I guess he was DMing Claire's friend. I don't know. But I'm sure she showed it to her if he was. So, and I know that there was a mention, Becca said, of stuff coming up. And I mean, the guy was checked out. And she basically says that she talked about it, right?
Well, that's the whole thing. It wasn't anything new. Like, Brennan knew about this. And what I understand is that it was out in the open. And it had happened at a bar that she said, like, the Australian guy kissed her. And she made a comment. She's like, well, I don't really consider that cheating, but whatever. But I think the reason that it wasn't considered cheating, and okay, is it cheating? Are they married? Yes, it's cheating. Whatever. If you want to follow, just that's cheating. I get it. But also, it was very clearly after, to your point, he was done. He was done. So it wasn't even like they were just trying to get through filming at this point. I don't think it wasn't like this big secret that this thing happened and it tore them apart. He was long gone.
And she told him about it. And but did you cheat? It just It's just the tone. Wow. And I'm not, I know that it's her job to get the answers. And so that's not what I'm saying. But the thing is, overall, that tone from everyone, from anyone saying it, it's like, let's just act like this is a relationship that was going anywhere. And then she went out and, you know, had a bunch of sex and then came home and acted like everything was cool. I mean, it's just like, it just sounds like everything was really bad. Someone paid some attention to her. She made a bad choice, I guess. And then it copped and owned up to it.
I hope she got his number. I hope they're still in touch. I hope.
God, I know.
You know?
The hot Australian. Can he be, now that you guys are fully divorced, yeah, can we please bring him back into the picture so she can have some fun? Although she said last week that she doesn't want to have any fun for a little while with guys. She needs to take a break, which I don't
if she
don't
wants
blame
to
her,
go.
I guess.
Visit him in his homeland and take a couple of ladies as chaperones to Australia. I'm just saying, we are here to do that sort of service for people, you know?
That's, yeah. Hey.
I just love that there's no way that Keisha would have said to like Chloe, did you cheat? I asked you, did you cheat? I mean, at one point, when she brings up the double date and like you said, Emily was like silencing. I think you mean silencing. And I love it. Every time Emily gets a little sharp tongued, a little dart in, it's in between her taking sips of the cocktail. And then Keisha's like, wait, I didn't finish my question. I mean, these two can't stand each other. And then it was just amazing. She's like, did you cheat? Did you cheat? And then when Emily says, well, you can call me a conspiracy theorist, but the whole thing about, you know, them putting it on Claire, Cam and Brennan, the whole double date thing. And then the, did you cheat? And then she said, what's funny about this is that for me, it wasn't really cheating. She was trying to prove that he was never in this.
Right.
So whatever.
Yeah. I mean, just so if everyone's confused about the timeline, it didn't happen on the honeymoon and then all of a sudden he checked out. That's all that we're saying. That's all anyone is saying. And you can just say, there was someone got yelled at in our group because they were like, they posted and said, and then when I say someone got yelled at, I mean by me.
Did you yell at someone?
Yeah, I sure did. Because they posted and they're still in there. And I honestly think, you know, sometimes when you write something and then you probably like
couple
the wording,
wines.
The tone.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
It's like the tone doesn't go, a couple wines. Yeah. But yeah. It said, Emily cheated, period. Maybe you guys live your life that way, but that is cheating, and saying that we were defending it. And I said, first of all, we never defended it. We said it was a bad choice, but the dramatization of this being some scandalous affair that took down Emily and Brennan's blossoming relationship is a little over the top. And I said, and I think it's also a little out of line to suggest that because I think that Emily may be having a little fun after being, you know, whatever, with stuck with B-bag all season. And again, said it was wrong, but that means I make out with other people. I mean, I'm like the biggest. Are you kidding me?
I can't keep my
tongue
in my mouth.
I was like, I hope that you, I just hope that you didn't mean anything by that. And then they deleted their comment later. So I don't think they meant it that way. And I do understand sometimes when you write something, it's like, maybe that's the way you live your life. Maybe she meant other people. I don't know. But I was like,
people are really passionate in the comment sections, aren't they?
I know. It's so fun.
I mean,
well,
they're really
not as passionate as I was when I thought that Chloe looked like Laura Graham and nobody else cared. anyway.
I don't know. I would watch an hour long Keisha and Emily interview. I mean, that's all. I just, at one point when Keisha was like, did you hook up with the Australian? And she's like, I'm getting there. And it was just, it was amazing. It's just one of my favorite things.
Yeah, I know. It must be it must be kind of awkward as a host to just be like, I don't get along with this person. I got to sit. Yeah, I have to host. Okay. Lauren and Orion. Mm-hmm. When someone was talking and then he jumps in, I just like to piggyback off that vibe. No, stay out of it, asshole. Don't piggyback off of anything. Don't speak. She looked like it. She was gonna. I mean, I almost worried for him.
I
for
know.
His safety for a second.
I know.
She can give a death stare like I've never seen, and I'm
daggers.
I'm here for it. Oh yeah, I kind of want her to teach me how to give one. I think I'm pretty good at it, but she's really good because he. I was just glad that she finally got to just sort of just state it, just call him out. And because I feel that she's been very, I think we all know she's been very patient with him. She's been very gracious. She took the
heat. Too gracious. Oh,
yeah. She took the heat. She took accountability, just like she said tonight. And I mean, when he, first of all, I mean, I really hold you in high. I hold you in high regard. Nobody asked. Nobody cares. The ego on this guy, especially a couple times when he said things like, "Kind of seems like you want to." Oh, were you counting the days? No, she's holding you accountable. Butt face.
I mean, I've heard some of the things that have come out of your mouth, but that one. I mean, you were holding back, and somehow it got even better. Thank you for that. Butt face. That's my new name for him now. Butt face.
I mean, because he gets me so riled up that I feel as if I'm.
Does he get you riled? I'm sorry.
Oh, guys, this
has been a long season.
It has been a long season, and this is going to keep happening. Yes, I am all riled up, and it makes me feel like a middle school who just wants to go, "You shut up." Like,
I know.
I just get so frustrated with him. And even though he was being so frustrating this episode, she handled it so well. And the way she, when he said, "I knew that it wasn't for me on day two," I thought I was going to burn my own house down. And then I couldn't wait for her. And then when she basically said, "Oh, really? Because on day three, this, on day four, that, you're crying in my arms. On day five, you're asking me." I don't think, listen, this guy's, he's no match for her. Okay.
No, not on any level.
No. And you could tell that he was trying to be defensive and make himself look cool. And she just had all of it. She had the receipts, which we'd all had too, because we watched the season. And if I could have just stood up and just clapped in my own home.
I know. And her ability to communicate effectively when she's in a blind rage is really admirable, because if I was like you, like so mad, I wanted to, you know, just punch walls and kick my legs and fall asleep. But like, I couldn't even process my anger. And yet she's able to say to him, "I'm feeling attacked. You know, I literally did everything you wanted. I was forced to set boundaries. You know, you wanted a friendship and I thought about it and I reached out." He doesn't follow through with anything. And she was just able to really put him in his place. And I'm so glad that she sort of, you know, she didn't raise her voice, but she commanded the room when she was getting interrupted by everyone, you know, whether it was Austin who was trying to, the cooler, you know, go in there, try to make things okay. Poor guy. I actually think he was just like, "Hey guys, let's kind of," you know, and she was like, "What the fuck you," you know, but I mean, I'm so glad that she didn't back down and that she was able to use her voice and get everything out, because I mean,
honestly, she did it without raising her voice. So if that is what Orion thinks is raising her voice, because she just said, "Let me finish. Yes. I'm finishing. I let you finish, Austin. I sat here listening to you and Becca." I mean, by the way, weren't Michael and Chloe just both sitting there with their dicks in their hands? That's my favorite expression. I know Chloe doesn't have a penis, guys. I just like to say,
my favorite.
Just sitting there with your dick in your hands when you just feel probably so out of place. Because they're just all going at it. And then Emily's like, "So how are you guys doing? Decision day is coming."
Right around the corner. Yeah. Look at all the fun you could be having.
But yeah, when Austin jumped in and he kind of seems like you guys don't really want to be friends. Anyway, Lauren was basically kind of said, that's sort of the point here. I mean,
right.
The point is I keep saying I'm just here on the couples retreat. I showed up because they probably made me, right? And I agreed to whatever. I'm here. I said, I just want to vibe out. You're the one that decided we needed in front of everybody. You told me that you're here to try to make amends with me. And then you never followed through on it. And you keep doing that. And you keep doing that. And everyone keeps seeing it on camera. And then all of a sudden, because I sent you a text message that apparently was went way over your head, because
he needed a summer vacation to write back to collect his thoughts, and he still hadn't gotten around to it. I mean, what a little dummy head though, to be like, oh yeah, I really want to talk more about this, but like, he should have just not responded.
Yes, because for him to say, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that message. I think we all pretty much saw Lauren this season. And other than the beginning, when he was making her feel guilty for something that she had no ill intention of doing, blah, blah, blah. Other than that, there has been no time that she hasn't been very clear on what she says. So if this guy couldn't read a text message from her, that's a him problem. Okay. If he still needs a week to wrap his brain around whatever it said. And basically she said, I don't need this. I don't need to be a friendship with you. She said, I didn't need a response, but then you write back. First of all, if somebody wrote back to me after a long text message and they said, I really want to respond to this. And then a week went by and I never heard from them again. And then they showed up at a bar and started telling me they were still trying to figure out how to respond. I would be like, just set your phone on fire and lose my number. Just give me your phone. I'll go put it under my tire. I'll back over it 47 times. Don't write me back. I don't want you to write me back.
I can't wait to respond to a text message of yours, but just saying, I need some time to respond to this.
Okay. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you for thank you for whatever, being clear. Thank you for letting me know, or just understand she doesn't want to have anything to do with you. Why are you trying to force this issue? It's just leave her alone.
Well, and it forced her to have to say to him that, you know, here you continually have shut me down and then pull me back in. And I'm an emotional person I want to try. So I try. And then you literally give me nothing. I mean, that whole gaslighting. But remember when they were fighting like on the honeymoon and he would basically say like, oh, I didn't say that. And she's going, are you fucking kidding me? You just said that. That's how he's done that the whole time with his actions, you know? Oh, hey, I really would like to be your friend. How is the gym? How are you? You know, all the bullshit.
Let me piggyback off of that.
I love that Emily said on After Party, like, yeah, he was on the show for one day, yet he dominated the group get together.
Well, that's the thing is, when she started counting down the days, especially when he said, I knew it's not what I wanted on day two, BS. We all know that's BS. And we all literally saw you with our own eyes and heard you say, yep, with the camera on you, it wasn't edited for you to say this, said things like, I'm not upset about that. And then the next day, I'm still not over that. I am upset about that. Yeah. I do want to make this work. Can we make this work? I'm catching feelings for, like, all the things that she brought up. It's like, you can't, and then you're just going to sit here and say, well, no, I was out on day two, so I don't really know what everyone's fucking problem is. I mean.
Yeah. Nope. Bitch slap. No.
I just was really, really pleased that Lauren just got to, she called him out in front of everybody in the most perfect way, because he I mean, the tail between his legs at the end, because there no arguing. There was no, and it wasn't, oh, I can't argue with this because she's too upset or because I'm going to, it was all facts.
Well, they witnessed him get schooled by this woman. I mean, and I think they, and the thing was, she said, she verbalized everything that everybody in that group knew. You know, I think, I don't know if he was having a whole lot of tub time, but the girls knew what was up and the boys probably don't give a shit. I mean, other than if he's hanging a light at Brennan's house or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you are, here's the thing is, I think the most frustrating thing about this guy, and listen, he's probably a good person and he probably just needs a lot of therapy.
Fine. He's probably fine.
He's probably fine. Probably just needs a lot of therapy. I don't know. I can't pretend to know what it's like for people to go through this process and all this stuff. But when she finally lays out all the facts so that he can't just pretend something else happened and does it in front of everybody. And then he says, I'm very sorry I made you feel that way. In my conversation, since all of this happened, I've learned that I have generalized and I have misled. Why didn't you say?
Should have started with that.
Why didn't you start with that? I mean, things you should have led with, because that is growth. That is saying, okay, that is accountability, which he has not taken until maybe for that one tiny second. The fact that it took her to have to basically narrate the season back to us between them and to him for him to go, yeah, you know what's weird? It's like everybody else has kind of been saying that too. And like, I totally know that. And I'm so sorry. And I'm going to put a fork in my eye.
It is really funny. Like he literally, like they were probably there for 3 hours filming. And finally he's like, you know what? This is starting to make sense. Starting to sound a little familiar. You know, I actually, somebody brought this to my attention that I'm not clear and concise and I kind of fuck up everything. So you know what? This is on me. And I hold you in a high regard. So cheers. I brought a six pack. I mean, this guy.
Oh, Barry. Well, that I feel, oh my God, look, it's only one decision day and couple decision day and we still,
we're monsters. Okay,
I have more to say. Plenty of more thoughts. There was also more an after party. There's plenty more to say. We're going to go over to Patreon. That's what we do. It's only $7 a month for a ton of content, including very lengthy, fun Sunday episodes that have nothing to do with this show. If you can't join us there, please drop us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, I think is where you can do that. And then also, don't forget, next week, please listen to us next week. We are going to take a little break and not do the former cast tell all, because we don't want to, us just repeating what other people say is weird. So just join us next week for a very, very fun surprise episode.
Yes,
that won't
please.
Be about that. Yeah,
I was gonna say it's a surprise to us too. It's gonna be fun though. I do know. Lots of laughs. Thank you. Please join us. Please join us on Patreon if you can. Thank you, Sarah.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you my podcast?
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 Are you my podcast? Are you my podcast?